This podcast is sponsored by the book, The Concept, A Critical and Honest Look at God and Religion, by Bo Bennett. Challenge your beliefs and explore faith through science and reason. Discover more at godtheconcept.com.
All right, so you think you know love. Well, get ready to have your definition challenged, because today we are diving headfirst into 2 John, maybe the most complicated love letter ever written.
Yeah, it's definitely a head scratcher. You know, on the one hand, you've got all this talk about love and truth, but on the other, it's got some pretty harsh warnings about who's in and who's out of the circle of, well, acceptable belief, I guess you could say.
Exactly. It's like a warm hug with like a really, really pointy elbow hidden inside.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to explore today.
Yeah.
Now, we're pulling some insights from this analysis called A Skeptical Dive into 2 John, Secular Bible Insights. And let me tell you, these folks do not shy away from the tough questions.
Not at all.
They really get into like the nitty gritty of how this little book, I mean, it's only 13 verses long, raises some massive questions about like truth, power, and who gets to decide what's right, which, let's be honest, are questions we're still grappling with today.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So to kick things off, let's address the elephant in the room. No one's really sure who actually wrote this thing.
Right.
It's attributed to, you know, John the Apostle. But there's a ton of debate about whether that's accurate or not.
Yeah, and that mystery just makes it even more interesting, don't you think? Like, who was this person claiming to be John, and what was their agenda? Was it about consolidating power, or were they genuinely worried about the direction that early church was going?
Right. It's like every word becomes suspect when you don't know who's actually behind it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so mysterious author aside, let's dig into the actual content. The main message of 2 John, if you boil it down, is about walking in truth and love. Sounds pretty straightforward, right? Like, who's against love?
Yeah, it's a pretty appealing message on the surface. I mean, who doesn't want truth and love?
Right. But then things take a bit of a turn when you get to these warnings about false prophets, and even the term Antichrist pops up.
Yeah, that's where things get a little dicey.
Yeah. And in this context, it seems like Antichrist basically means anyone who disagrees with this core belief about Jesus being, you know, both fully God and fully human.
Right. So it's not just about like loving everyone unconditionally. It's about loving the right people, those who agree with your specific doctrines.
Hmm.
And that's where the whole skeptical Bible perspective comes in. They argue that this intense focus on correct belief and the exclusion of anyone who deviates from that, well, it basically sets the stage for religious authority that can be pretty easily abused.
So instead of being purely about love, it becomes about control.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Because by stressing obedience and excluding anyone who dissents, well, the text is creating this framework where questioning the established doctrine, like even questioning it, becomes equivalent to opposing God himself.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, throughout history, we've seen that kind of thinking used to justify some pretty horrific things.
Yeah, it makes you think about like modern debates about religious freedom, right? Where some groups are still arguing for absolute adherence to their doctrines, which, you know, could end up excluding or even harming those who see things differently.
Right. And that kind of circles back to what 2 John is warning against, right? Like, it's not enough to be a good person. You have to believe the right things about Jesus. Otherwise, you're lumped in with the Antichrist folks.
And it's especially striking because of how short the letter is. It's like they crammed all of that into 13 verses.
Yeah, it's super concise, which, you know, you could argue makes it even more powerful. Like, it's getting right to the core message without any distractions.
But that brevity also leaves a lot of room for interpretation, right? Like, take that phrase, walking in truth. It sounds so simple, but what does that even mean?
Right. Like, are we talking about living authentically, pursuing knowledge, aligning your actions with your beliefs? Like, the possibilities are kind of endless.
But in the context of 2 John, it seems pretty clear that walking in truth is specifically tied to accepting their very particular view of Jesus.
Yeah, it's less about personal truth and more about conforming to a very specific set of beliefs.
And that makes you wonder, like, if we had to apply that to our world today, whose truth would be considered the real truth?
Whoa, yeah, that's a huge question.
It's like mind-boggling, right?
It is. And to even begin to answer that, we have to consider the historical context, you know? This letter was likely written in the late first century when Christianity was still super young and facing all sorts of internal and external pressures.
Okay, so they were trying to, like, define themselves against other groups and establish a clear identity in a world that wasn't exactly friendly to them.
Exactly. It was a time of defining boundaries. So, you know, in that context, it makes sense that they would be super focused on solidifying their core beliefs. It was almost like a, like their version of a rule book, you know, trying to unify a fledgling community.
It's almost like a very early mission statement.
Yeah, exactly.
Which makes you think about how religious texts are still being used in discussions about social issues today. Like, sometimes they're used to promote inclusivity, but other times they're used to justify the exact opposite.
Oh, absolutely. It's a complicated legacy, for sure.
So to kind of sum it all up, we've got this mysterious author, a message of love and truth that takes a bit of an exclusive turn, and a whole lot of room for interpretation. Mm-hmm. Plus, the whole thing was written in a very specific historical moment, which, you know, obviously shapes how we understand it today.
Exactly. And for me, the big takeaway is that we can look at 2 John through a skeptical lens, ask tough questions, and analyze it from all angles. But ultimately, how you interpret it is up to you. Keep questioning, keep examining your own beliefs, and, you know, keep engaging in those conversations. Because honestly, that's what makes exploring these texts so fascinating.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into 2 John. We'll see you next time when we tackle, well, who knows what.
See ya.